From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
Happy February. It is time for another episode of PDGA Radio. I'm Steve Hill. I'm joined by Sarah Sinclair. Sarah, I would like to, first, before we get into this episode, thank the presenting sponsor of this episode of PDGA Radio, Punxsutawney Phil, for giving us, allegedly, six fewer weeks of winter. So
I told you that I went to Groundhog's Day.
Oh yeah, we had this. We spent like half an episode on this last year. I swear.
About how disturbing it was.
Yeah.
If you want to hear my story, you can go back to last year's episode.
Roughly around this time. Yeah. So hey, good news this year though, because I think last year it was more winter. This year, spring coming sooner. So it should be good. Anyway, how's everything going on your side of the country these days, Sarah?
Pretty good. I don't know if you saw my big news yesterday, but I've been training.
You did a pull-up?
Yes. I've been training for the past 2.5 months to do a single unassisted pull-up. I have never done one in my entire life. Gym class, you know, in gym class, you do the fitness test. And for most of the girls, it would be like, all right, good job. You did a quarter pull-up. Like
sure.
You almost got to 90 degrees, but you didn't even get that far. So I was one of those girls. So I've literally never done one in my entire life, and I've been training for the past 2.5 months. And yesterday I was like, Sean, grab the camera, I feel like today is going to be the day. And it was. So I'm very happy. Yeah
I saw that. Very exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's cool. Good. I actually got to play some disc golf over the weekend. I played our local ice bowl, the San Marcos Super Ice Bowl, which takes place on Super Bowl Sunday and is a super class event. So was out there throwing a Zephyr the whole time, and it was a good time. I didn't play super well, and I can't even really blame like the Zephyr or anything.
Did you get ratings?
No, it was not sanctioned. It was not sanctioned.
Okay.
If it would have been, I may have paid more attention. But I got to, you know, I got to hang out and play with some people I haven't seen and played with in a while, so that was good. And I actually got to play with our friend on the podcast, AJ Risley.
Nice.
It was good. It was good to see him. He's kind of, if people recall correctly, he ended his season early last year with a wrist injury, and he's rehabbed that pretty well, and he's on the road to recovery. He's made some like changes to his form and done a lot of analysis on how to take stress off of his wrist. And seems pretty confident it's going to work. And so it was nice to hang with him, and his dad, Alan, ran it. And they just, it's super cool. They raised like $850 for the local food bank. And it's one of 13, no, I think it's 19 events now in Southern California that all pull into the same Ice Bowl series. So it's fun. It's like my one event at least that I try and get out to every year. So yeah, it was good. And then, you know, some Super Bowl, and now we're back at it. And Sarah, like this, so Ice Bowl, Super Bowl, Groundhog Day, it means we are almost, it's like almost the start of the season.
Yeah, it's scary. The offseason went very quickly.
It has gone very quickly. And we are going to talk about one of the events from over the weekend. It was the Samui Swine Classic over in Thailand. And then we are going to be joined by one of last season's kind of the end of the year breakout players. Chris Clemens is going to join the show. I thought it might be fun since he's a Kansas City guy. They ended up winning the Super Bowl, and he's just a good dude to talk to. So I'm pumped to have him on the show this week. But Sarah, let's kind of talk about this A tier over in Thailand. This was the Samui Swine Classic 7, and it takes place on this little island called Koh Samui, and it's kind of become this destination, like vacation event. The course is pretty short. I think it's like a 2,000 meter layout. They play 22 holes, so it's not super hard or challenging. And everyone, but the culture over there, everyone just seems to be having a great time. You can actually go see some photos on the PDGA Flickr page. It's Flickr, FLICKR.com/photos/PDGA. Alyssa Van Lannen was over there, and she shot some photos of the event. And it just seems like this really unique, exciting, but at the same time, laid back event. So on the one hand, we can kind of try and read some tea leaves about results. And on the other hand, you know, we kind of can't. So with that in mind, Philo Brathwaite won on the MPO side with a 40 under par finish that was 9 strokes clear of James Conrad. And on the FPO side, this was Paige Pierce's Discraft debut, and Sarah Hookham won. So, and she won by 8 strokes. Like, it was pretty resounding win there. So, just initial reactions from you, Sarah. First thoughts, are you surprised or not that Paige Pierce did not emerge victorious in her first event here?
I'm going to take the neutral standpoint on this. Like you have pointed out, I do many times. I'm going to try to be better about that this season.
You're off to a bang up start.
I know. But on one hand, new bag, new discs, learning all of that stuff. And on the other hand, you know, one of the best women, if not the best female disc golfer in the world. So I feel like those kind of even each other out. Also knowing that this course is really short, Sarah Hookham is really good at touch shots. I feel we've talked about this before. Paige Pierce can get pretty aggressive, especially, well, she wasn't behind. She started off with a 59, 1003
rated round. Like she came out of the gates pumped about that new Discraft plastic.
Right. And Hookham was only one behind her after the first round. So I feel like she just gets into those situations where she puts a lot of pressure on herself, and maybe whereas Sarah Hookham might go for the three and not get super greedy to get a birdie, Paige is always going to run for the birdie. I don't know. I'm just speaking like very generally.
Well, look, I mean, we haven't seen any video yet. And Terry Miller, the disc golf guy, is going to have some video of the FPO card. So I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, me too.
I think there's a few factors at play here. Number one, mad props to Sarah Hookham. She averaged 997.3 over the three rounds. She went 994, 999, 999. That's really, really good. So on the one hand, we can't just say, oh, Paige Pierce didn't win. Sarah Hookham smashed.
Yes.
So all credit to Sarah Hookham, number one. Number two, you know, I think with Paige, there's the excitement factor. And I think that probably played into the first round, you know, the 1003 rated. And the second two rounds, it's not like they were bad. She shot a 955 and a 965. Yes, those are both below her rating. But I'm not surprised that she didn't end up winning this event because of, you know, there's going to be that transition. We saw it with, you know, everyone last year who we see it almost every year with everyone who transitions. It usually takes a tournament or two to really get into the groove. It's actually kind of a funny parallel. I think back to Sarah Hookham last year. It was her first year with MVP. She came out and lit up the first round of the Las Vegas Challenge and then kind of fell off the last two rounds. It's like you get that initial kind of like juice that first round, and then maybe you come back to reality and you still got to work on figuring out this new bag. So I don't think it's any cause for alarm with Paige. And I think it also kind of goes to show that Sarah Hookham might have an advantage this year. Or maybe not an advantage, but we might see some more consistency this year out of Sarah Hookham, given that she's got a full season with MVP under her belt now. So I think, you know, I think that bodes well for her, but I don't think it bodes super negatively for Paige.
No, I don't think so either. She's been with enough. It's not like she's been with one disc golf company her entire career. She's been around with different companies. She knows...
Right.
It's like Paul Macbeth, like give him a paper plate and he'll probably throw it better than most people.
Yeah. So definitely,
and I also think there's a off season, thing at play here. Like
it's a vacation event.
Yeah, it's like a vacation event.
Mentality wise, you're not going to have that same killer instinct, killer battle mentality. And I think you can, you know, some of that can be, you know, we can maybe let James Conrad's 994 rated opening round slide. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And plus,
if I'm James Conrad and I'm going over to Thailand, I'm probably having a good time. And
I would hope so. Yeah.
Also throwing some discs. It's
right.
Not like throwing some discs and having a good time. It kind of the calculus changes there, I think.
And it was a small field. There's only 4 women. So, you know, like you said, I don't think this was gives us a sense of what the rest of the season is going to look like.
No, I don't think so either. I think, the first real event that will kind of tell, Paige's kind of fortunes over the season are going to be the Memorial. I mean, that's the first big one that she's signed up for. So it's interesting. There's not, like, we have the Wintertime Open and the Las Vegas Challenge coming up before the Memorial. I'm kind of surprised to see that she's not playing either of those. But at the same time, it's, you can go and kind of ease into the season. I get it. Some people kind of take it a little easier at the beginning, so you don't have to burn out so much. So yeah, it's going to be fun either way. I think it's exciting. It's going to be fun to see how she does. It's going to be fun to talk to her when she gets back and kind of see how the learning curve is going. And then, on the MPO side, just looking at Philo, he loves this event. This is, I think, the second or third time he's won it. And, just keeps going over there and having the good vibe. And I think this is a good, I think we can kind of cherry pick with this event. Like, I think you can almost say if you win it, it's good for you. But if you don't win it, it's not bad for you. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you can take the confidence out of it, but, and the good vibes of winning a tournament, but you don't have to hand wring over if you didn't play well there.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good off-season tournament in that way. So I think that kind of puts a bow on the Samui Swine Classic. But keep an eye out for coverage from Terry Miller, the disc golf guy, because that should be coming out on his channel. I doubt he's doing it while he's over in Thailand, but I'm sure it'll be up soon-ish. So, Sarah, before we take a break, one other little thing that I wanted to mention. If you go over to the announcements section on the PDJ website, there is a brief bit of news about a new player ratings minimum for the open division at majors and elite series events this year. If you are planning on trying to sign up for one of those elite series events or PDJ majors in the open division, go check that out. Make sure you're basically hitting the thresholds. This is kind of doesn't really apply to like 95% of people announcement, but good to put out there anyway.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's take a break real quick and we will come back and talk with Chris Clemens. And after that, Sarah and I have some ideas for the fans. So we'll be back here in just a moment on PDJ Radio. All right, joining us now on the show for the first time, the top rated, left-handed player in the world, Mr. Chris Clemens. Chris, how's it going, man? How are you?
It's going great, man. Living the dream, getting excited for the new season.
Yeah, I'm excited too. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Before we really get into it, I got to ask you, you represent Kansas City on your PDGA page. Are you a pretty happy camper after this weekend? Are you a Chiefs guy?
Yeah, man. So growing up, I was kind of, my dad was a Packers fan and a Yankees fan. Yes. And so I grew up, liking the Yankees, and it was good because the late 90s were really good and stuff. But then the more I grew up and kind of realized how the Yankees ran things, I kind of started to not like them as much. And then I worked for the Naturals, which is a Royals AA team here in Arkansas. And so I started to like the Royals and stuff. And then when I moved to Kansas City in 2015, I started to like the Chiefs and the Royals, went to some games and stuff like that. And it's been really cool to follow them and kind of see, because Chiefs fans have kind of had it tough, because it seems like every year they would get to the playoffs and then they'd lose. And they'd be like, well, maybe next year, guys. And so they finally did it. So it was really cool to see. Kansas City is going nuts right now.
Oh, I believe it, man. I think as we're recording, maybe is the parade, like the celebration.
Yes. And I have been getting videos. People were out there at 4:30 this morning and stuff, getting ready.
Oh my gosh.
And so the first year when I moved to Kansas City, the Royals won the World Series.
Yeah.
Yes. And the parade there was insanity. So I imagine it's going to be way more insane for the Chiefs, because people are way more diehard football than baseball, it seems like.
Oh yeah. And I think, 50 years since they last went to the Super Bowl, I think that's going to be
right.
They got a little more to get out of their system, I think.
Yes. And the future is good with Mahomes. If he stays there, man, there's kind of, the sky is the limit.
Oh, absolutely. All right. Well, hey, this is a disc golf podcast, but we like to talk about other sports too. Sure. So, you know, I mean, it was a lot of fun watching you, you know, get in the spotlight more at the end of the season. And I know we've got this new season coming up, which everyone's stoked about, but I feel like you're maybe a player who, you know, people might not know as much about. I mean, I'm sure they can follow you on social media and stuff like that. But you know, for listeners of this show, who don't know who Chris Clemens is or know your backstory, you know, kind of give us your disc golf origin story. When did you start playing? What really got you into the sport?
My friend, Aaron Lewis, he got me into the sport because his mother got him into the sport. This was back in 2005. I think I was a junior in high school. But I still played baseball, basketball, and I played those my entire life. And he was just kind of like, hey man, come in, let's go out to the park and throw frisbees, you know. And I had never thrown a disc or a frisbee in my life, not even an ultimate disc.
Not even, he'd never thrown like a frisbee. Wow, that's wild.
No, I think maybe junior year we actually started to play like ultimate frisbee in PE class. Right. So I started to get more and more into it. And then I think that summer, a bunch of us, maybe five or six of us, kind of caught the disc golf fever where all you want to do is go and play every single day. And so, yeah, I just played for a couple years, just for fun. I think I played one tournament, my hometown tournament. And I got, it was second or third in rec. And then that was 2007, I think. And then I didn't play another tournament until 2011 or 2012, because I moved to Arkansas to go to college, and I still played baseball and basketball. And I played disc golf maybe once or twice every couple weeks. You know, I still enjoyed it and still love playing. And then when I moved back to Joplin in 2010, was when I kind of started playing more. And then I met people and they were like, hey, come and play league with us, man. And so I did that. And then they were like, come and play this tournament this Saturday. So I did that. And then it was kind of history after that. All I did was concentrate on disc golf, and I would watch like old disc golf monthly videos with Cubby.
Nice.
And Jimmy McElvain. I would watch those to go to bed every night, and just, I would practice every day.
Awesome, man. Do you remember what the first disc that you owned or threw was?
My very first like discs that I remember having that were mine, it was a purple Orc, a Champion Orc, and the Millennium Midrange. I think it's the Aurora or something okay. like that. Yeah, the Aurora MS, and it was yellow, and my Orc was purple, and so I called it the Kobe Combo. And so I would just throw those and putt with the mid-range.
Nice, man. Nice.
Yeah.
So you get into disc golf, and you know, you have the story of kind of playing nonstop, like everyone gets that bug and mm-hmm. gets into it. I recall talking to you at the end of the year, and you obviously like you had a job and other things before you decided to become a professional disc golfer. What were you doing before that, and how did you, you know, take that leap to say, I'm going to do disc golf full time?
So after I moved back to Joplin, my stepmother, she is a teacher, and then she was a librarian, and now she's a realtor, but she was a teacher for like 30 years, and I have little brothers. And so she kind of saw in me that I like to help other people. And so she suggested that I work in healthcare. And so I did like a summer camp where I would work with people with developmental disabilities. And I did it for like 2 months and I loved it. And so that's kind of when I figured out, I was like, this is what I want to do. I've always enjoyed, you know, helping people, talking to people, just being around people. And so I started working with people with developmental disabilities like Down syndrome, Asperger's, stuff like that. And I'd work in their homes. And I did that for a couple years. And then when I moved to Kansas City, I worked with people with dementia and Alzheimer's. And I worked in their homes with them and basically, you know, assisted living. And being able to do that, especially when I lived in Joplin, Missouri, when I was working in people's homes, I worked overnight shifts. So I would work overnight and then I would get off and I could practice disc golf all day. So that was really convenient. And then when I moved to Kansas City, I worked like during the day. But yeah, I just kind of made it a point, you know, to always have time to practice. If I got off work at 4 p.m. and it got dark at 5:30, I had to like have all my stuff ready. And if I couldn't drive all the way to a course, because sometimes courses are a little spread out in Kansas City, I'd have to like find a random field or a park to throw in, just because I just like to practice every single day.
And then where were you at that point where you said, okay, I'm, you know, I can survive on the road, I can go full time. You know, what got you to that position where you were like, hey, I'm gonna do this thing?
Yeah. So in 2013, I played the amateur world championships, and that was in Emporia. And I had already played a couple pro tournaments, like local C tiers, but didn't accept cash to keep my amateur status, just right. Because the people I was playing against, like Kyle Webster, we both like came up together and we pushed each other, and he had a big deal with like pushing me to another level. But I played in Am Worlds and I ended up getting fourth, and that was like my first like big tournament. And then I kind of realized like, hey, you know, I think I'm better than the average person at this. Like, and I put in a lot of effort and time, like, you know, I could be really good. And so then I became sponsored by Latitude 64 in 2014. And then kind of played, you know, local tournaments, moved to Kansas City in 2015. And I think I had a really good season in 2017. I played really well, won some A tiers. You know, my rating became really high. And then I think it was kind of at that moment that I was like, if I have the opportunity to travel and tour, I will take it, you know, cause I don't have kids. I didn't like have a house I had to pay for. Like I was pretty free as far as like, you know, somebody in their late 20s or early 30s could be. So I had the opportunity, to do it. And so I took it.
And I mean, it seems like you're making the most of it. Obviously I'm looking at your ratings history. And like you said, back in, you know, 2017, you know, you're in that, you actually had a pretty good jump that year. You went up from about 10.05 to 10.13, 10.14, but then just that steady climb, you're at 10.26 now, you know, peaking really strongly at the end of last season. You know, what can you kind of attribute that to? Have you had a chance to really like download that and figure out, hey, like or is it just a natural progression for you to where, you know, it was that time?
I think personally, I'm pretty cerebral when it comes to golf. I grew up and I played ball golf too. So I think of golf as, you know, it's like 90% mental. Like it's, you know, if you practice every day, like I do and all, you know, other touring pros do, and you have those skills, you know, like it's all about the mental part of it, just believing in yourself and being in a good space mentally and in life in general. And so I think for me in 2017, I had a really good season, and I was kind of like, I had my job in Kansas City and things were very steady. And then in the off season between 2017 and 18, I went through a hardship. I went through a breakup with a girl, and it kind of like threw my world around, you know, because I was like planning. I was already planning on going on tour in 2018, but I had went through that, and it kind of like reverberated throughout the 2018 season. You know, it was still something I was like getting over and getting used to, and just a change of going from living a normal everyday life, going to work, and then, you know, still playing disc golf every day and on the weekends, but not having like a regular job and just touring. Like that's a pretty big step. And for me, like I'd never done anything like that before. And so 2018, I was kind of learning, you know, I knew I had the ability and the talent. It was just, you know, getting my head right. And then in 2019, I kind of, I was able to do that. I was more comfortable, you know, being with Jordan Castro for the second straight season. We just kind of like made it a point. I think the turning point for last season for me, honestly, was probably right around like Beaver State Fling. Cause me and Jordan, we were going to play, I think it was like a B tier right before Beaver State Fling, because it was a Portland Open, then a B tier, then Beaver State Fling. And we decided to skip out on the B tier and just practice for a week and a half at Milo McIver. And we would, you know, usually we'd wake up, and kind of like drink our coffee and hang out and stuff, and then go to the course at like 11 and play and be done at 3 and then eat and then relax. But I was like, dude, it's perfect outside and we're at Milo McIver. Let's start playing 2 rounds a day. Let's go out earlier, play a round, take, you know, a long lunch, an hour and a half or whatever, recoup, and then play again. And so we started doing that, and, you know, Jordan got 5th, and I think I got like 17th or 18th. And it was, that was kind of a turning point where I was like, man, we got to put in the work, we got to practice, and just being comfortable, finding a rhythm, you know, for what works for us. Cause everybody's different. Some people like to, you know, practice a course once or twice and then they're good to go. But, you know, with me and Jordan, it was kind of an everyday, we got to put in the work.
Yeah. And I mean, it's pretty interesting to look, you know, you look at your finishes, from Beaver State Fling on. And I mean, not that you had terrible finishes before that, but the numbers get significantly higher for the most part.
For sure.
It's a pretty interesting switch there. So I mean, one of the things that really stood out to me last year, obviously you go out, you win Vacation Land, you come in 2nd at GMC, 4th at USDGC. You take all that in stride, man. Like I remember how cool of a customer you were with all of that going on. It's kind of a lot. And then, you know, at the Hall of Fame Classic, a lot of people are kind of talking, you know, man, season's long, it's over, I'm ready to go home. And you're like on the complete flip side of that. You're like, I want to keep going. I want to keep playing. I want to keep doing this. Mm-hmm. So I mean, how has that translated into your off season? Because obviously you haven't played at least a sanctioned tournament, right? Since the tour championship for the Pro Tour. So you know, how have you kind of used that enthusiasm to drive your off season?
Yeah. So this off season, I really wanted to make it a point, because this is really where, like, you know, all the work and all the effort and everything, like if you put it in the off season, it really shows during the season. And I think, you know, the seasons are long. And last year I left Kansas City in February of last year, and I didn't come like home, like to a home and like in Arkansas, I didn't come home until like the end of October, I think it was. And so, you know, the season was long, but I was like getting used to it, and, you know, playing good always helps, you know, if you're playing good, everything's good. But yeah, using the off season to just, you know, on days, if it's like crappy outside or you're just feeling kind of like lethargic, like using, you know, whatever motivation you can find to put in the work you need to do, whether it's, you know, running or a putting session or, you know, working out, doing anything, which is, you know, what I do pretty much every day. But yeah, it's not always easy to find that motivation, but like, you know, I've seen it, you know, in the last week with Kobe Bryant passing away, you know, his hard work and work ethic that spoke to a lot of people, and they look up to him because of that. And, you know, that's always what I've kind of, you know, modeled myself after in my game. It's like, you know, yeah, I might not throw the furthest, I might not, you know, look the smoothest or whatever, like, but if I put in the work, I can be the best. And so I think that's, you know, kind of the mentality you have to have if you want to be really good at anything you do in life.
It's interesting to hear you talk about that. And obviously, you know, you said you grew up playing basketball, you had the Kobe combo of your first couple discs. It sounds like he was a pretty big influence on you. Have you noticed that among a lot of disc golfers, because I see a lot of disc golfers and they tend to not maybe follow, you know, mainstream sports quite as much as people in other more mainstream sports. What's the impact that you've seen after all this among fellow disc golfers?
You know, disc golf is such a huge sport and the competitive professional side of it is such a small aspect of disc golf. You know, I don't know the numbers like you would know better than I do, but like the competitive touring scene is probably like 2% of disc
golf. Oh, yeah.
Maybe even if that. And so I think that for most people in disc golf, yeah, maybe like, you know, they don't follow much sports or they like, you know, the aspect of disc golf of being able to, you know, just kind of do your own thing. There's no team, you know, you can, anybody can play. It's super easy. But I think once you get to the higher level of disc golf, you know, and you have people like Paul Ulibarri and Paul Macbeth, and you got Jordan Kasser, who's always in the gym working out, like that's kind of what disc golf is turning into. And I think a lot of us get motivation from athletes because we grew up playing, you know, other sports. And so we get that motivation from other people, you know, and just wanting to work hard. And so, you know, if you're not working hard, somebody else is, and you're getting left behind.
Now what's your, you know, what's your excitement level like right now? We've got the season kicking off in just about a couple weeks. When are you really hitting the road and what's the outlook?
Yes. So Jordan Castro, we will be touring again together. He is on MVP now, which is cool. Like, right. I'm excited to see some, like, see what he's throwing. Cause I threw some MVP way back in the day when I had like a mixed bag, you know, I was just an AM. And so I'm kind of excited to see what his bag is like and what he's going to do, you know, cause I don't think he's ever really thrown it before. And so it'll be exciting to see that. And we're going to be with Terry Roethlisberger, which is on Discord.
Nice.
So we kind of like have our tour schedule, you know, set out. It's going to be the same as it's been in the past. They may play some tournaments that I don't play. I know last year, Jordan, he went to Montana and I went to Kansas City instead, and got to be on Jomez. So it all worked out. And he was on Central Coast up there, but I loved Montana. So, but I was like, man, I love Kansas City. It's fun. And I kind of wanted to be home and see everybody, but yeah, the excitement level is high. Vegas will be my first tournament, and that's, you know, coming up pretty soon. It's like 2.5-3 weeks. And so actually, cause I'm in here in Arkansas right now. And the nice thing about it is like, it's been a pretty mild winter. I think we're actually supposed to get snow today, and it's like the first snow in the last, like the entire off season. So I've been able to practice every day outside. I have a basket inside. I've been putting on and I've been working out super hard. And so, yeah, I'm excited. I'm ready to go. I don't really have like any new discs in my bag per se. Maybe some new plastic on top of the discs.
Oh, that took one of my questions. Good. I was going to ask that.
Yeah.
No, that's okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I'm just super excited. Yeah, I'm ready to go.
I got to ask this question. This isn't necessarily like relevant to the interview so much, but I always kind of wonder, like, so you're out there with Jordan, which granted he was kind of throwing similar stuff to you last year, but like, will you guys ever actually throw each other's stuff just goofing around for fun? Obviously not knowing that you would never go into a competitive round doing that, or that you obviously are on a contract, but like, would you pick up Jordan's MVP, whatever, and give it a toss off the tee just for fun?
Oh yeah.
Like, do you guys let yourselves do that?
For sure. I think one of the things, you know, because our bags ended up being very similar, you know, and that's, you know, the case because we both were sponsored by Didi and we're traveling together all the time and we both like throw, you know, fairly similar. He throws further than I do, but it's not like crazy further. So the discs that we throw are pretty comparable. And so us both throwing fuses, I've been asking him, I'm like, what are you throwing for that replacement? You know? And so like, I want to see it and I want to throw it. I want to see what it's like if it is like a fuse.
Yeah. Just for fun, right? Yeah. Just to see what really changes. Yeah,
for sure.
All right. So we were kind of talking offline, and you know, you had kind of sent us a message on the PDJ side a little while ago, seeing what was going on with like the world rankings, because they have been a little bit behind schedule this year. We kind of had to retweak the formula. So first of all, I would like to know, do you know what your year-end 2018 world ranking was?
Year-end 2018, I don't think it was very good. Maybe like around 30th or 35th or something like that, maybe?
It was actually 51st.
Okay.
Tied with Devin Owens.
Okay.
Now, our world rankings are set to be published for a year-end 2019 pretty soon. So can I surprise you with your world ranking on the recording here?
Yeah, sure.
All right. What do you think it is? Do you want to give a guess, or you want to just know it right off?
I would guess like maybe like 13th or 14th, something like that.
Wow, you are good, man. It is 13th.
Nice. Sweet.
Congratulations. That's sweet, a huge man. Jump.
Yeah. That's super cool. I know that that algorithm takes into account a lot of, you know, majors, USDGC, worlds and stuff like that. So it really reflects, you know, how the top players in the game are playing at the big tournament. So yeah, it's really cool to see. And I'm glad like now, but that gives me even more, you know, excitement to try to get that top 10 and keep working.
Yeah, man. I mean, so parlaying that, does that give you like a hard goal for this year? Do you set like a hard goal or any, you know, specific numbers or finishes for yourself?
You know, I don't really set like specific numbers, like I want, you know, so many top 10s or anything like that, you know. And I've done like some questionnaires. I think I had to do one for the Disc Golf Pro Tour, and I think I did one, you know, they send them out for our team and stuff, and they said, is there any, you know, anything you want to achieve in 2020? And I was like, yeah, it's pretty simple. Just win. Like one one word, just win. That's what I want to do. You know, that's what we're all out here to do. And I think that there was a ball golfer I heard maybe a year or two ago, and I don't remember who it was. That kind of upsets me now. But he said, you know, at first when I got on tour, I used to want to try to make the cut. And then I realized that I was, you know, struggling to make the cut every week. And then when I started to set my eyes on like top 20 or 30, I started to finish, you know, right around 30th. And then when I started to think that I could get top 10, that's what I started doing. And so wherever you envision yourself is, you know, really, it's kind of, you just have to believe in yourself. And I think, you know, 2 years ago, that was the goal, was to like cash and, you know, and just be getting better. And then, you know, in 2019, you know, as the season progressed, I started to believe that I could win. And, you know, that's a pretty good feeling. And that's really what you want, because that's what you need to compete at a high level. You have to believe in yourself and believe you can win. And so that's kind of what I want to carry into 2020, and just believe I can win every single tournament.
I love it. All right, I'm going to shift gears on you real quick, because this is, you know, we do have to do some lighter fare sometimes on the podcast. So obviously, you have quite the reputation for your hair. Can you give us your best hair care secrets? How are you keeping it looking good out on tour, man? People want to know.
Well, there's a pretty easy answer to that, and that would be my girlfriend, Kayla Barron. She's a hairstylist. No, but in all honesty, she helps me for sure, and she buys me some conditioner, and it like comes like in this little tub. And I know that she gets discounts on it, but I think it's like $30 or something. Like, it's pretty expensive stuff. But yeah, I don't even know the name of it. But yeah, I use conditioner. You know, I condition, and then I don't like wash with shampoo. I do that like once or twice a week, because with my hair, it'll like dry out.
There you go.
Yeah,
man, that's like an that's like an ace up your sleeve, though. I don't know if James Conrad is dating a stylist.
Yes, it helps, you know. But honestly, like, some days she'll be like, "Oh, your hair looks good today," and I'm like, "Yeah, can I get a haircut?" And then she's like, "Nah, I don't have time for that." It's like, come on.
Love it, man. Love it. All right. Well, here's what I like to do. Whenever we have someone on the show for the first time, I like to end with the lightning round, where I just hit you with some quick questions and you give me the first answer that pops in your head. Are you up for that?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So first one, favorite course on tour?
Milo McIver.
All right. Most difficult course on tour?
Ooh, probably San Francisco.
Oh, all right. We haven't heard that one yet. Okay. How about most overrated course on tour?
Oh, probably
Fountain. You like to get people
Fountain
upset.
Hills.
Fountain Hills. Okay. Best food on tour, like whatever town you're in or what you're looking forward to, somewhere to eat.
Ooh, Maine.
Okay. Are you eating like lobster and stuff up there?
Yep.
Nice.
You got
nice.
It.
Nice. All right. This one's right up your alley. Who's got the best hair on tour? You can vote for yourself if you want to.
Steve Dodge.
Oh man, we should just end it right there. I love it. All right. More difficult hole. USDGC number 17 or GBO number 16 at the country club?
Oh, GBO for sure.
Okay. If you were going to play or watch another sport besides disc golf, what's it going to be?
Soccer. I love watching soccer. It's a huge, it's my most, it's the sport that I love most besides disc golf, but I never play. I never played when I was little, but I love watching it.
Who do you have a team? I have recently started to pay attention to the Premier League. Who do you have a team, or are you not a Premier League guy?
I am a Premier League guy, and I am a Manchester United fan.
It's
been very hard.
They're not quite as up there right now, yeah.
No, and I started liking them back in like 2006, when I started following soccer because of the FIFA World Cup, and I've liked them ever since then. But it's been tough, so I'm excited for the future. Though it'll be cool to like go through a hardship with them and then watch them win again.
It's been fun to watch, man. It's kind of taken the place of football for me now, and I'm, well, you know, American football.
Yeah.
I'm we'll have to talk some more on the road this
for
year
sure.
about soccer. All right. If you're going to have any superpower, what could it be?
Oh God. Probably to fly.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right. One person you would like to have dinner with, they could be living or dead, obviously.
Man, that's a good one. I feel like I'm going to, like, I know somebody, but, and I'm going to forget. Probably Carl Sagan.
Ooh, all right. You're trapped on a desert island and you can only watch one movie again for the rest of your life. What's it going to be?
Castaway.
You're getting me today. All right. And last one, and probably the most important one, cats or dogs?
Ah, man. All right. So I've grown up always having cats and dogs, and I've had cats. But here recently, like, Kayla has a pug, and
yeah,
I love it. And she's been really awesome. And especially since I've like been here in Arkansas, and I'm spending a lot of time at home with her. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'd say they're both pretty even, but I think dogs are starting to get the upper hand.
There you go. It's hard to argue with a pug, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Chris, thanks, man. I appreciate it. It was great to catch up with you. Looking forward to seeing how the season goes for this year.
Yeah, I appreciate you too, Steve. I appreciate you guys and what you do for disc golf. The PDGA is awesome. Yeah, I'm excited for Vegas here in a couple weeks.
Awesome, man. Well, we will catch up with you soon. That was Chris Clemens, and we'll be back here in just a moment on PDJ Radio. All right, coming in with some hot rounds from over the weekend, Sarah. What do you got on the FPO side?
The fifth hottest round was from a player that we've recently talked about.
And recently, I hear, got a contract extension.
Oh, from Prodigy?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I read that over in the news.
Oh, very cool. Congratulations. Well, that would be Heather Young. And she played in the Pasture Open Power by Prodigy in Tunnel Hill, Georgia this past weekend. It was a B tier. She shot a 951 her last round to take the win by 4 strokes. So congratulations to Heather.
Nice.
Starting her season off right. Very cool. The next was a 955 from Haley Flintoft. I believe she was on our hot rounds last week too.
I think so you're right. Yeah.
On that. And she's our buddy over in New Zealand. The Southern Smash was, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce the town name, but it was in New Zealand. And she shot a 955 her last round to take the win. And she won by, let's see, 57 strokes. She shot 14 under par. Super hot.
Nice.
Wow. Good job, Haley. The next two rounds were a pair of 956s that came from the Battle at the Fountain 2 presented by Dynamic Discs. And those were, and that was in Fountain Hills, Arizona. And those were from Colleen Thompson and Callie McMorrin. They both shot that 956, their second round. Callie took second place and Colleen took third place. Congrats. The second hottest was from Sarah Hokum. She actually shot, like we said, two 999 rated rounds, her second and third round, to take first place at the Smooley Swine Classic. And then the hottest round this week goes to Paige Pierce, who shot 1,003 during her first round at the Smooley Swine Classic, and she ended up taking second place.
Very nice. All right, over on the MPO side, we're going to stay at the Smooley Swine Classic with Weston Isaacs, who I believe also was on the rounds last week. We had some repeats, but Weston shot a 1057 rated opening round, and he came up in fourth place over in Thailand at the Mookie's Cup Not Yours 2020 in High Point, North Carolina. We had Mr. Barry Schultz with a 1063 rated second round to take second place. Chris Dickerson won the Pasture Open powered by Prodigy. That was out in Georgia, like Sarah said, and that was with a 1069 rated second round. Another duplicate. I swear, we're just living in this guy's world right now. Dan Hastings,
yes,
with another super hot round, 1086 rated second round to win the Mookie's Cup Not Yours. That's his second win in the last 2 weeks. Maybe we need to get Dan Hastings out on the old road.
Yeah,
I remember he told us that probably wouldn't happen, but you know, you never know. And man, it is just, we're being dominated by North Carolina this week. Mr. Brian Schweberger with a 1089 rated second round ended up winning the CADL Winter 2020 quarterly hosted by Fly Guy Disc Golf. And that was in, where was that? That was also in North Carolina, but I don't remember the exact city. I'm sorry. And I moved away from it, but safe to say North Carolina representing this week on the hot rounds. Good stuff. Sarah, we've kind of talked about on the show how we wanted to get things, you know, a little more interactive for the people, for the listeners. And we have two ways that we are going to start doing that this year. Do you want to introduce the first one, since it kind of came, I guess it came from my idea, but I thought of it as more of your idea.
Well, I spoke about it because I said that I need to get out of disc golf hibernation and start throwing discs again. And I said, yeah, I was going to do that via this app. So we brought up the Perfect Putt 360 app, and we were talking about how it makes your putting practice a little bit more interesting, a little bit more competitive with yourself.
Also slightly demoralizing at some points.
Oh my gosh, yes. Because I'm not sure
if it's healthy, but that's okay.
Yeah, I've broken 200. It's very difficult. If you guys think that making, you know, you start at 15 feet, you go all the way back to 30 feet. Or no, sorry, you start at 10 feet, I believe. And once you get to the 25 and 30 foot ranges, yeah, it actually highlights what you need to practice. And for me, it's 25 and 30 footers. But like we talked about before, you get bonus points if you make all of the putts at one station. You get bonus points if you make the first putt and the last putt, which I think is really cool because it's it's like pressure. It's like if you make all nine putts at 20 feet, you're like, oh no, now I have to make this last one, and you miss it. And so you not only miss the points for that putt, but also the bonus points. So it's very challenging.
It is challenging.
All of that said, we would like to challenge you, the listeners, to do some practice putting of your own using the Perfect Putt 360 app that you can download on whatever phone you have.
It's like $3. It's less than a decent cup of coffee.
Yes.
And it will help you with your putting. So yeah, it's available on the Google Play Store and the App Store and all that stuff. It's called Perfect Putt 360. And what we want to do is we want you to take a screenshot of like your best score each week and post it to Instagram and use the hashtag PDGA Perfect Putt. That's hashtag PDGA Perfect Putt. And Sarah and I will look through and we'll give some shout outs. This isn't going to be here's a challenge and you get to win things. You're going to win pride and better scores because your putting's going to get better.
Yeah. I need to get in on this too. I'm going to do it a couple days a week.
I am too. Sure. It actually, like I've noticed, like just in the little bit that I've been practice putting, it's the last two times I've gone out to play, like my confidence level has been a lot higher. It's kind of crazy how that works, right? Yeah. Practice and play better. It's crazy. So yeah, go download the Perfect Putt 360 app. Here's the thing I want to encourage people. Don't be afraid to post your scores because look, mine and Sarah's scores, I don't think are going to be great. I don't think a lot of people's scores are going to be great, but that's the point. Let's think of this as less of a challenge and more of like a support group where we're going to, we're going to help each other get better, and pat each other on the back. And, you know, if you post 1 week and then take a couple weeks off, but then you post and you've had a big jump, cool. Tell us, let us know, use that hashtag, PDJ Perfect Putt, and we'll do some shout outs. Does that sound good, Sarah?
Yeah. It's like an accountability group.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll just keep each other accountable that we're on top of our putting.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that's cool. All right. And then, the other thing that we want to do is, and I think there's other podcasts that do this, but that's okay because you only listen to this podcast, so you wouldn't know it anyway, right?
I only listen to this podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just kidding. I don't listen to this podcast.
No,
that would be weird.
It is a little weird. I've done it before, like a quality check to go back, and it's kind of funny. Anyway, what we do want to do is, you know, Sarah and I like to make the picks every week for the big tournaments that are coming up where we will pick an MPO and FPO winner and an MPO and FPO like top five lock. We want the listeners to do that as well this year. And we're going to have to do that like a week in advance because we want to kind of read your picks for that tournament on the show. So for example, next week, Sarah and I are going to make our picks for the Wintertime Open. What we suggest you do then is you go to the PDGA website, look at who is signed up for the Wintertime Open, pick your winner for MPO and FPO and your top five for MPO and FPO, and email us your picks at radio@pdga.com. Make sure you put, you know, Wintertime Open picks or something in the subject line. And we're going to pull, for this one, we're going to pull a random, participant. And that participant will represent the listeners every week. And basically, the listeners will have a running score for the whole year going up against Sarah and I's running score.
I like it.
I do too.
That's fun.
I think people are going to try and get involved and rep for the listeners and look like, you know, how our scoring system for this, what did we do with our scoring system, Sarah? We simplified it, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. I believe 2 points if we got the winner and 1 point if we got the top five.
Right. So we weren't doing any like reverse order from your standings or anything like that. We just quick and easy. But what you want to do is you want to nail that winner and that top five for a total of 6 possible points to represent the listeners. So again, send us your listener picks for the Wintertime Open to radio@pdga.com. And hopefully we will have someone representing on the show next week. Sarah, I can't even believe that we're talking about the Wintertime Open already.
I know. Me neither.
It's wild. It's just so people know, you can go right now. It's a full field, and it is currently headlined by, on the MPO side, Josh Anthon, Kale Leviska, Garrett Gerthy, and Vino Makkala coming over from Finland, which nice. I'm stoked about. And on the FPO side, we've got Owen Scoggins
woohoo!
Making her comeback, and Jessica Weiss, Kona Panis, and several other players. So there's some good picks over there to be had, I think.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Yep. All right, Sarah, before we go, I know you've got a shout out. What do you got?
Sarah's shout out of the week. I'm very excited. So to top off my you know, exciting week with doing my two pull-ups in a row, today, this morning, actually, registration for my ladies and gents mixed doubles charity event opened, and I am absolutely blown away by the number of teams that have already registered. This has got to be a record. So it opened at 9 a.m. Central Time. It is currently 4:30 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, and we have 43 teams registered with a cap of 60 teams. So I'm absolutely blown away. Wow. And I'm just looking through the registration list right now, and there's some new team names that I want to call out, because some of them are pretty funny. One of them, so this team has played the event, I think, all 7 years. Bobby Rogers and Sherry, I don't know how to say her last name, Rosic? Let's go with that.
You're the, we got to put you in some kind of reference.
Their team name is We Want to Try Sean's Cookies. And I'm trying to think back if I posted something like that. Sean bakes. He's an amazing baker, and he'll bake me cookies and cakes and things for my birthday. And I need to ask him about that, but I think that's pretty funny. And then I should have thrown my Mako, which is perfect because that's something that I usually say. And there then the last, my last favorite is Backhanded Compliments.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I giggled at that one for sure.
So, yeah, yeah, I kind of want to have like an opposite of that. Like, can you have a four-handed compliment, or is that just a compliment?
You can now.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Good deal. So, So when's the tournament again?
Okay. So the event is April 18th. It's Earlwood Park in Columbia, South Carolina. This is the 7th year. All of the proceeds go to the South Carolina Cancer Alliance. There are 17. So it's all mixed doubles, and there's 3 divisions. So 17 team spots left. If you are interested in playing, we've had teams come all the way from New York, Texas, all over the place. So get yourselves out there, raise some money, win tons of prizes. The raffle is filled with prizes from some of the top pros and big companies. So, should get in on it. It'll be fun.
Awesome. I'm glad it is. I'm glad it's filling up quickly.
Me too. Thank you.
Good deal. Good. All right. Well then, hey, I think that's the show for this week. Thanks again to Chris Clemens for coming on. Sarah, thank you as always, because I know we're always trying to fit this into our schedules. And thank you again to our listeners here. And remember, if you want to get in on the Wintertime Open picks, email us radio@pdga.com. If you want to become a better putter, hopefully, get that Perfect Putt app, Perfect Putt 360. Use the hashtag PDGA Perfect Putt, and we'll see you next week. So Sarah, have a good one, and we'll talk to you guys soon. For Sarah Sinclair, I'm Steve Hill. That was PDGA Radio. Be good to each other, and we will catch up with you next week.